At least the sun was shining this Sunday, so we decided to come. Thank you for your understanding last week. It is, as always, great to be with you. And what I want to do this morning is pick up on our series about prayer, our 40 days of prayer. And in a minute, I'm just going to sort of give you a little bit of a sort of backtrack on what we've covered so far, because it's been 3 weeks, something like that, since I was last with you. So we'll catch up a little bit on that in just a moment. Just to explain, David's already pointed out that we're going to do communion together at the end. We're going to bring the children back in, because I want what I share really to sort of come down into the expression of the communion. You'll see as we go along, if it works, what we're trying to do there. So, mums and dads, it's up to you just to think about whether your children have a piece of bread or whatever. That's your decision. But we want to really focus on what it means to be family, to be the people of God in that this morning. So, what I want to talk to you about this morning is called prayer in five dimensions. Prayer in five dimensions, as part of this 40 days of thinking about prayer. I just want to remind you, because you may have forgotten, I don't expect you have, but just in case you've grown just a little bit blurred as to what happened, that we've had three of these talks prior to this one. Back in the mists of time, Joel and Rachel kicked us off with, "Do you really want to grow?" I only listened to it, but I could imagine the oranges and people trying to peel oranges down the front here. Do you remember that? Because they were asking the question, you know, do you really want to go? And like physical growth, spiritual growth to maturity is a process. A process which takes us from complete dependency to being able to feed and care for others. And they reminded us that our relationship with God is like a relationship of a child and parent. We grow, we develop in that relationship. And we grow when we feed on God's word. We realize, we learn in different ways. We develop spiritual habits. We help others to grow. And when we overcome hindrances. And then Kevin led us through a beginner's guide to prayer. He reminded us that prayer is a relationship, not an obligation. Prayer is having a conversation with a Father who loves us. We pray out of knowing who we are, as sons and daughters of the King. Prayer is not religious words or a formula. We can chat respectfully, honestly, about stuff. I like that, Kevin. We can chat about stuff. And we all have stuff, don't we? Prayer allows God, Kevin said, to get to us. Not just about us getting to God, but about God getting to us. And then when I was with you last, we talked about, who do you think you're talking to? We reminded ourselves that God is Abba, our Father. Yet he dwells in majesty and glory, and he is our sovereign. And we spoke about approaching in prayer a God who is good, and we respond to that with gratitude. We remember that we're talking to a God who has a plan for us, and we respond with willingness. And we talked about approaching a God who is sovereign and to whom we respond with obedience. So you remember all of that, don't you? So we're going to build on that now this morning with our prayer in five dimensions. Doreen and I pray together every morning. It's the first thing that we do. And just this Thursday, I really felt like it was one of those mornings when trying to pray was a little bit like swimming through treacle. You feel like that sometimes? It just somehow felt like hard work. Really had to sort of concentrate. And I said to Doreen, isn't it, sometimes, you know, you feel like you're just getting trapped. You're getting limited in your prayers. It's almost a kind of formulaic repetition. It happens that way because we pray for our family. We pray for the churches that we're involved with. We pray for our nation. We pray for our friends who are scattered all over the world. And for the next, that takes about half an hour just to get that far. And it's inevitably a little bit repetitious. And it takes an effort sometimes with our praying, doesn't it, to move beyond those sort of set patterns that we depend on so much. And that's why I want to talk about prayer in five dimensions. So what we're going to do this morning is try and see how we can have a more expansive view of what it means to pray. So I want you to turn with me to Luke 22, and you'll see as we read this, our connection with communion this morning. Luke chapter 22 and verse 14 is where Jesus is with his disciples in that familiar setting as they take the Last Supper together. Luke 22 and verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Those familiar words, aren't they? But what I want to do is see how they can perhaps this morning give us a little bit of a sense of modeling some dimensions of prayer for us. So, prayer in the first dimension. And prayer in the first dimension, I'm going to call the historical dimension. A prayer, an aspect of prayer, a dimension of prayer that has to do with looking back, with remembering. Jesus begins, as he shares this supper with his disciples, he says to them, do this in remembrance. This was to be something that when they did it in the future, they would be looking back. So I want to suggest to you that one dimension of prayer is that dimension that causes us in our prayers to look back to the cross, to look back to celebrate the essential heart of our faith. Many years after this event, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, he says to them, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That, he said, that's the first of first importance. That's the first thing I want you to grasp. That's the first thing I want you to hand on from generation to generation, that Christ died for our sins. Looking back. Looking back to that moment when Jesus gave his life that we might be accepted. And we've already sung about that this morning, haven't we? Paul writing to the Colossians. You might want just to turn to this with me if you have your Bibles to hand. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Paul writes, once you were alienated from God. and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That contrast. We were alienated. We were enemies. Our behavior was evil. But now, because Christ died for us, because Jesus died for our sins, now we are reconciled. Now we are holy. Now we are without blemish. Now we are free from accusation. When I read this, I thought, I hadn't really, that last phrase, free from accusation, really hit me. What a great privilege that is. What a thing to stand before our God and know that we're free from accusation. That no one can accuse us. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no accusation that can stand against us. Why? Because suddenly we somehow managed to get it all together? No. But because Jesus died for us, and because his blood has cleansed us, healed us, covered us, removed the offense of sin from the eyes of God in us, free from accusation. So we look back. We look back with an immense sense of gratitude and wonder. Every time we take the bread and wine, we look back. It's a dimension of prayer. I want to encourage you in that. The moment you begin to pray, the first thing that comes to mind is you want to say, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the grace in which I stand before your throne right now because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That I'm forgiven, released, cleansed, put right, included because he died for our sins. We look back in wonder and gratitude for the cross and for all the blessings that have flowed into our lives because of it. Dimension number one, prayer that looks back with wonder and gratitude to the cross. Okay, prayer in the second dimension. I'm going to call this the relational dimension. As Jesus gathers with his disciples and he takes the bread and the wine, and it says he gave thanks. And I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that as Jesus gave thanks, he looked up. Because we read elsewhere of how he looked up and gave thanks to the Father. He looked up. So this second dimension, this relational dimension, is summed up for us in the words looking up. The prayer that looks up into the face of the Father. Because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we are reconciled to the eternal and holy God. Let's just hear Paul again, this time in his letter to the Roman Christians. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 10 and 11. Romans 5, 10 and 11. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Because of our reconciliation, Paul says, we rejoice in God. The New Living Translation has, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. So here's a dimension of prayer. This second dimension, this relational dimension that looks up and says, Father, I love you. I worship you. You are my God. You alone are my God and my King. And rejoices in who he is, rejoices in who I am in his sight, rejoices in my place of being reconciled and included. You see, what we're doing as we begin to pray like that, we're sort of laying a foundation for our confidence that will come as we continue to pray. Who I am a son and daughter, or daughter of the Father, as Kevin was reminding you a few weeks back. We rejoice in God. We can look up into the face of our Father in the heavens. We can look up into the face of our Abba in wonder, in love, in thankfulness, rather like the prodigal son looking up into the face of his Father as his Father runs out to meet him, throws his arms around him, gathers him in, pours out his love upon him. That's how our God is to us, and we can rejoice in him. And because of that relationship, we can, in the words of Paul's letter to the Philippians, pray about everything, telling God what we need and thanking him for all he has done, telling him about our stuff. Because as our Abba, he's interested in our lives, in all that we are and all that we do. And we can pray about everything, telling God what we need, thanking him for what he has done. So this second dimension of prayer then is looking up in love into the face of our Father. Dimension one, look back. Dimension two, look up. And prayer in the third dimension. Prayer in the third dimension, I've called the inward dimension. In terms of the Passover supper, as Jesus shared it with his disciples, he says to them, this cup is the new covenant. Right at the center of that meal was Jesus establishing in the hearts of his disciples that new covenant, the covenant of the Spirit. He was drawing them away from all that the traditions of their upbringing and all that they understood from the past, and saying, look, this is a new covenant. It hasn't to do with laws and stuff that's imposed on you from the outside. It has to do with the Spirit that is born within you. It's a new covenant. It's an inward covenant. The prophet Jeremiah had long before spoken about that day when the law of God would be written upon the hearts of his people. So there's an inward dimension. This we can sum up as looking in, looking within our own hearts, looking within ourselves to the Spirit who is our counselor and our guide. Paul says to the Roman Christians, again in chapter 8 and verse 16, for his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. You see, what joins us together is Spirit to Spirit, the same Spirit living in you that lives in me, the same Spirit that lives in our brothers and sisters in our other churches across the area, that lives in brothers and sisters across the nations of the world. We're joined together by that same Spirit, that one Spirit. And as we look within, it is the Spirit who can and does awaken something in our hearts, so that when we pray for our family, when we pray for our friends across the nations, I'm trying to listen. I want to listen. Listen. Holy Spirit, put words into my mouth, which is praying the right things for these people. It's not just God bless, my children and their children and their
dogs and cats and things like that. It's really listening to the Holy Spirit. That deepens and enriches our prayers. This is that inward dimension of prayer that stops the bit and listens, senses. What's the Spirit? What's the mind of the Spirit in this? So as we pray, we look in to connect with the Spirit within us. And the assurance that reminds us that we're now in a covenantal relationship with God. Our prayers are the communications, the conversations that enrich and sustain that relationship. As Paul encourages the Ephesian believers, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in the energy of the Spirit within. It's to have that dimension of prayer that looks within, that listens within, prays in the energy of what the Spirit produces within. This ensures that our prayers are motivated not just by our own desires or our own ideas or our own emotions, but our prayers are in harmony with the Spirit, with an energy that's not just ours, not just our thoughts, not just our ideas, not just our emotions, not just our desires, but an energy that's born of the Spirit within us. And the Spirit knows, well, let's look at it. Romans chapter 8. Paul's writing to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. When we look within, something stirs, an energy, a heart stirs within us. Sometimes that energy within us, the only way we can express it is by praying in tongues. You find that? Those of you who have the gift of speaking in that special prayer language that God has given to us, the Holy Spirit has given to us, sometimes the only way I can give expression to what I feel stirring within me is to pray in tongues. Sometimes I wait until Doreen's gone out shopping so I can stride around the house shouting my prayers. You know, don't do that when she's around. It alarms her. Oh, no, not really. It doesn't really alarm her, but it might alarm the neighbors. I'm not sure. Anyway, but sometimes it's the only way. There's something stirring in here. Don't do it while you're driving. Well, I nearly had a very nasty experience once, many, many years ago. A friend of mine, we'd been somewhere. We were really having a great time of praying, worshiping, and tongues, and suddenly realize again approaching this corner far, far too fast. But the grace, so be careful. But sometimes it's the only way we can release that energy of the Spirit within us. It breathes new power. And if you don't have that gift, then pray the Lord for it. And or pray in English. It's okay. You can shout in English just as well. All right. You can go out and walk along Hadrian's Wall and shout for all your worth up there, I'm sure. I've lost my place. It's here somewhere. Right. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So as we pray, we look in so as to connect with the Spirit within us. And we look for the help, the inspiration, and the passion of the Spirit. I need that because I'm not a particularly passionate sort of person. I don't express passion particularly well. But I know when the Holy Spirit is working in me, then I can get passionate. Right. Let's move on. Prayer in the fourth dimension. Prayer in the fourth dimension, I'm going to call the here and now dimension. The here and now dimension. Jesus says to his disciples, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. He was investing this occasion with something very special, a sort of special moment of intimacy and interaction between himself and these men whom he had gathered around him. I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. So the fourth dimension I've summed up as look around. Look around. Here's a dimension of prayer in which you look around. You cast your mind around. You allow the Spirit to widen your horizons. You see, our life as followers of Jesus is not meant to be lived in isolation. Starting with his disciples, Jesus was bringing into being a new covenant community. We become a body in which every member is important. And our prayers must reflect this sense of belonging to communities beyond ourselves. For the body of Christ throughout the world, for our church family, our natural families, our local community, our nation, our world. Need a bit more time than we often give ourselves from prayer. Look around. Be aware of the people around you. Be aware of your neighbors. Be aware of your family. Be aware of your church. Be aware of your wider church family, the other churches in your town. It's a big thing. Looking around. Being willing to open our hearts and minds to those around us. Look around. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul says to the Thessalonian Christians, who are very young in the faith, but he says to them, pray continually. Or as another translation has it, never stop praying. Or my own translation, which says, pray all the time. Pray all the time. I wish I was better at that than, you know, it sounds like I'm telling you that because I'm an expert. I'm not. I have to remind myself constantly, even when I'm walking down the street, and most days I try to go for a walk, pray all the time. Look around. Look around. Look at the houses. Pray God's blessing on the houses, on the people, on the town, on the dogs. Oh, no, not necessarily on the dogs, but on the dog walkers. And, you know, pray all the time. Look around. The fourth dimension. Look around and pray. And prayer in the fifth dimension. Prayer in the fifth dimension is the future dimension. We look back, we look up, we look in, we look around, and we look forward. Jesus says to his disciples, look, he says, I won't be drinking this fruit of the vine with you again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. I won't be taking this with you in the same way until the kingdom of God comes. Looking forward. We pray with an until. Because everything we pray is looking forward, whichever way forward is now, that way, which looking forward to the coming of the kingdom. We know that everything we pray for is in the here and now, but it's looking ahead. It's looking to where the kingdom of God is taking us. We pray with an until. We look forward to the kingdom coming in its full glory when the Lord Jesus appears in his majesty and power to put all things to right. When Paul was kind of reminding the Corinthian church about the taking of the bread and wine, he says, you do this until he comes. Until he comes. It has a future dimension. You know, it's taking a cup to the coming king. I've done that sometimes. Taking communion, you know, each having a glass of the wine and saying, to the coming king. Like drinking a toast. To the coming king. Because we need that reminder, don't we, that he's coming. And that everything we are and everything we do is seen in relationship to that until he comes. We look forward to the fulfilling of God's plans and purposes for ourselves, for the church with a capital C, for our church with a small c, for the whole creation. In this way, we give voice in our prayers to the hope that is within us and within all creation. As Paul says to his friend Titus, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means our prayers will reflect the tension of the world we see now and the new world to come. We pray as we pray, constantly reminding ourselves that the world as we know it is not the world as it's going to be. For that new creation, that new earth and new heavens that's coming. And we pray in the light of that. The New Testament Christians, of course, many of you will know, they used an Aramaic word, a word from the language spoken by Jesus and his disciples. And Paul uses it on a couple of occasions, the end of his letter to the Corinthians, and it occurs again at the end of the book of Revelation. Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. However you say it, I haven't the foggiest idea, really. Maranatha, O Lord, come. It's an Aramaic word. O Lord, come. Actually, make a change from amen, wouldn't it? So, prayer in five dimensions. Prayer that looks back to the cross with gratitude and wonder. Prayer that looks up into the face of the Father in wonderment and expresses the joy of that relationship. Prayer that looks in to heed the promptings and the energizing of the Holy Spirit. Prayer that looks around to be aware, to be alert and be aware of those around us, the world in which we live and move. And prayer that looks to the future. Prayer in five dimensions. We look back to the cross. We look up to the Father. We look in to the Spirit. We look around to the world. We look forward to the fulfillment of the ages and the new heavens and the new earth. And I'm looking at David because that's my signal to him to go and tell the children to come back. All right. Or Paulie, bye. Because what we're going to do, Chris, where are you, Chris? Could the musicians come and just perhaps take us into a song just to quiet our hearts and prepare us, and while the children are coming in, I think that would be helpful. Is that okay? Not the one you started with this morning, jiggy, jumpy up and down thing, but something rather more restrained. If you know. Where is ding, ding, ding in the scriptures? What I want you to do in a few minutes when the children have come back, and I want you to, there are four places, aren't there? Is that right? One here, one there, one over there. There, right. And one down there. Right. So make your way to one of those areas. If you're with your family, go as a family. If you're not with family, maybe your home group or was just with those around you. And just have as you take the bread and wine together, and then perhaps move aside and just have a little huddle and pray in five dimensions for 5 minutes. That's 1 minute each in one dimension. Okay? Only 5 minutes, Tony. Not 5 hours. We got it. Okay. Right. Song, wait for the children to come in, and then as the song ends, you move out and get your communion when you're ready.
Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. A new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay, as you feel ready, let's come up as a family or as a group of people together and come and get your bread and wine and then move aside. Just spend a few minutes praying with one another, whatever groups you want to form into. Make sure everybody's included. Look back, look up, look in, look around, and look forward.